spice. Oh, sugar and spice. It's naughty. Hello, 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 hello. Welcome to the Naughty But Nice Show. It's Friday, the day after Thanksgiving. I hope you all had a lovely day. We have a special treat today. Our friend Corey Andrew, he's here from instinctmagazine.com. Corey, are you there?
I am here, Rob. Happy, happy Friday.
Happy, happy Friday. Did you have a nice Thanksgiving, love?
I did. I cooked far too much food for two people, and so now I have to eat it. But listen, people right now, some people are hurting, so I don't want to make light of that. I'm blessed to have the food. Happy day.
You're absolutely right. I love your attitude. Do you know what time it is, Corey? Yes. It is tea time. Big exclusive at the top of the show. William and Harry are having peace talks. I know. Ooh. They've hit the reset button. I hope this all works out. So after Meghan Markle published a very powerful op-ed in the New York Times talking about suffering a miscarriage over the summer, things between the brothers is starting to get a little bit better. Nice. And now there's a hope. That maybe peace between the two brothers can actually happen. Sources tell me the following, quote, William and the family, they knew about the miscarriage before the New York Times op-ed was published. They've been very, very supportive about Harry and Meghan and hope this awful experience might bring them closer together again. Oh. At the end of the day, they are brothers, and this has made them realise just how precious life is. Insiders tell me they can't really remember why they fell out, why the war got so bad, why they're not really speaking. Yeah. Has that ever happened to you, Corey? Have you had a falling out with somebody, and then months afterwards you're like, why did we fall out?
Yeah, I have a really good friend like from the 90s to this day. He just like stopped talking to me, and like, I have no idea what happened. So, and I still don't, like all these years later. So sometimes you just kind of have space. You need space, I guess.
Right. You lose sight of what happened. And then it takes, unfortunately, a horrible, horrible event like this to maybe think about life and each other and family. Mm-hmm. Inside the palace, they are calling this moment one of the most important peace talk moments in the history of the family. The hope is the brothers will hit the reset button. Some people say there's no point going over past grievances, but rather focus on the future. I don't know about that. I think if you don't get to the bottom of why you fell out, of what the problem was here, even if it's silly, just admit that too.
Yes, yes.
But I think sometimes just carrying on pretending nothing happened is not always the best choice, although they are thousands of miles apart now. Yeah. He's not going back to Britain. His life is now in America. But I do hope it gets to a stage where they talk, they can visit each other, they have a better relationship, because at the moment it's almost zero. Yeah. Do you think this could happen? Do you think they could be friends again?
You know, I think so, but you raise a really great point. They have to get to the heart of the matter, because I have a philosophy in life. If a friend comes back into my life from the past, unless we get to the bottom of whatever that little schism was, we're never going to have a productive friendship going forward. So you have to figure out what was the problem.
You do with friends, I totally agree. But with family members, Sister Betty, if you're listening, with family members, you're sort of stuck with. So I can actually move past pain with family members easier than I can with friends.
Yeah.
And particularly family members that I don't have to see that much. I'm in America, like Harry. I'm not comparing myself to him, but I'm here. Sister Betty's in London, and I'm certainly not comparing her to the Queen. Right. She'd love that. Mm. But it is interesting. And what I found fascinating, too, is I reached out to the Queen's office.
Oh,
I mean,
look at you.
I've got some. I know. Look at me. It's amazing firing off an email to the Queen. And they're not commenting on this publicly. They said it's too deeply personal, so I totally see that as well. This brings us to our poll question of the day. Harry and William are in the middle of peace talks. Oh, fingers crossed. Having a reset button. Will this work? Yes or no? Go to our Twitter page at Naughty Nice Rob. Our Facebook page is Naughty Gossip. You can leave a comment there and be sure to check back on Monday to hear your results. Corey Love, what are you working on?
Yes, well, Universal sued for cutting black couple from posters.
Whoa.
Yeah. Actor Faison Love is suing Universal for cutting him out of the poster for the 2009 comedy Couples Retreat. And he's accusing leading man Vince Vaughn of also trying to help silence him, according to reports.
Ooh.
Yeah, so the 52-year-old actor said in a lawsuit Wednesday that he was aghast when he saw that he and his co-star, Callie Hawke, they were chopped from the publicity posters overseas. Keys. Couples Retreat was very successful, first place box office opening weekend, and it went on to a spectacular run that grossed over $171 million worldwide. But Universal Studios placed Mr. Love in the backseat of the ride, enjoyed by his six white co-stars, the lawsuit alleges. Now, that's a clear Rosa Parks reference.
We got it.
Yeah, so Universal did apologize when the edited poster first was exposed, and Love says that he was then promised future lucrative career-making film roles that never materialized. Ooh. So the movie's lead actor, Vince Vaughn, who's 50 years old, he's also accused of helping the film bosses try to placate Faison, with the lawsuit claiming that he went so far as to tell Love that, you know, making a big deal about this removal from the poster might not be a good career move. So that sounds a little bit like a threat of blacklisting. I don't know, Rob. How do you take that when you
hear
that?
It's so stupid this is. I hope it's not done out of malice and it's just a stupid business decision. So the film came out quite a while ago, so I'm not quite sure why it's bubbling up now. But it is bizarre. It looks to me as if for the international markets, they often have different posters. Mm-hmm. So I've worked on movie campaigns where they have posters in America, different ones overseas. It looks like Vince Vaughn is a bigger star overseas than he was at the time here in America. He's a big star here.
Yeah.
So it looks to me as if they wanted his face bigger on the poster overseas than it was in America. Mm-hmm. Now, we all know from selfies and taking pictures with a group, if you want to make yourself bigger, you have to crop other people out to zoom in on yourself. Now, I think what's really, really outrageous here is they didn't zoom in on Vince Vaughn. They did that, but they also cropped out the one black couple. So had they zoomed in and all four faces had been bigger and the two people on each side of the photo got cropped out, that might have made some sense to me. Yeah. But they chose to edit out the black couple that was standing next to him and push the white couple over. So this is just outrageous. So stupid. I'm glad they've apologized. It'll be interesting to see what happens with this one.
Yeah.
Kristen Stewart's talking out about playing Princess Diana. Ooh. So she signed on to do a big, big Diana movie. It's called Spencer. Mm-hmm. Remember her name? Her maiden name was Diana Spencer. She said that she didn't really grow up with her. She was only 7 years old when the tragic event happened. Mm-hmm. And so she was very, very young at the time. But she does feel protective over Princess Diana. You know, I think a lot of people feel protective over Diana.
Oh, of course.
I feel protective over Judy Garland, over Princess Diana. I mean, I've got to admit it. Mm-hmm. I feel protective over Madonna. There's something about these pop stars, these celebrities that we really feel we know and we love, and they're vulnerable. Where are you on Diana? Do you feel protective over her?
I do. And I remember, like, one of the funniest things I remember with Jackie Collins, when someone said to her, "I don't get the big deal about the royal family." And she goes, "Well, darling, that's because you haven't got one." It was to the American guy in the audience. So I've always felt like, I feel like that was our princess. We finally had one as well. So I love Diana. Very protective as well. I get it. Totally
get it. It'd be interesting to see the way Kristen plays her. She said that she's hoping to bring back feelings that people have towards the princess rather than recreate every moment. So some biopics go through the history like it's a Wikipedia page. They just tell you beat by beat, they were born here, this happened, they went to school there, they fell in love, they got married. So they'll go through it. She doesn't want to do that.
Yeah.
She wants it to be a lot more emotional. There is something about celebrities playing deceased celebrities that the Oscars really like. I think, if I'm right, Renee Zellweger just won the Oscar for playing Judy Garland.
Yeah, she definitely.
In that movie.
Yeah, she did a great job. And it was, some people didn't like it, and some thought she nailed it. You know, it's funny with Kristen. I interviewed Kristen for the Charlie's Angels premiere, and that was really great. And she has a vulnerability, like this sort of similar vulnerability to Diana. But I will say, the Instinct magazine audience, when I wrote about the story when she first signed on, they weren't very happy about it.
They weren't happy. No. The Brits are not happy that an American's playing Diana. So it's very controversial. It's not even started yet. I say give her a chance. I didn't think Daniel Craig would be very good at James Bond, and he's turned out to be my favorite.
Yeah, he's great.
So give her a chance. What's going on with Drake, Corey?
Yes, music superstar Drake says the Grammys may no longer matter. So that's a big, bold statement for a recording artist. Drake, he's taking jabs at the Grammy Awards just after The Weeknd called out the Recording Academy for being corrupt. However, Drake, 34-year-old Drake, he says, he stepped up and he says he sees that there's a disconnect from acknowledging impactful music. And that's what he's accusing the Grammy Awards of doing. But let's be clear, Drake himself has won 4 Grammys. So,
right. I mean, so pretty nice. I mean,
I'm trying to say, like, he's kind of got this conflict, but yet he's speaking out. So, but still, he wrote in his statement that, "I think we should stop allowing ourselves to be shocked every year by the disconnect between impactful music and these awards and just accept that what was once the highest form of recognition may no longer matter to the artists who exist now and the ones that come after." So he's like saying the Grammys are irrelevant, which is a big insult to the Academy, I'm sure. What do you think about that statement?
Ultimately here, this comes down to, what do we think of award shows? Should award shows reflect popularity, or should they reflect excellence, or both? The same with the Oscars. People want to know why Madea's not up. Like, it's the most popular movie of the year.
Right.
Mission Impossible makes millions of dollars. It's never going to win an Oscar.
Right.
So when I watch the Oscars, and a lot of movies I've never heard of, I really like commercial movies, like really trashy movies. Mm-hmm, I love action movies. They're never nominated. And I think it's the same with the Grammys. Mm. Should we just give the Grammy to the person that sold the most records each year? Or should they go to the record that maybe didn't sell very well, but artists find it incredible? Yeah. Now, the Grammys are voted on by other artists, so other musicians do get to choose this.
Mm-hmm.
Some years, there is an overlap where the most popular also happens to be the greatest. I think Taylor Swift, we're going to see that this year.
Mm-hmm.
Her album Folklore is one of the biggest selling, I think the biggest selling album of the year. And it's probably going to win all the awards. Yeah. Beyoncé's album got the most nominations, and it didn't sell that many for a Beyoncé album, but I think it was a really good album.
Yeah.
It's very complicated for me. What do we do here? Do we give it the most popular show, the most popular film, the most popular album? In which case, we don't need to vote. The public's voted.
Right,
do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
When I watched the Emmys, I was like, should the Emmy go to the most popular show? Like, should Big Brother on CBS win? You know, should The Real Housewives win the Emmy? I don't know.
And
where are you on this? It's the same with the Tony Awards and Broadway. Yeah. Every year, should we just give it Andrew Lloyd Webber? His shows are the most popular. You know, a lot of people don't like them. The critics don't like them, but the public love them. So what do we do here?
Well, you know, for me, I've got to be careful too, because as I've mentioned on the show, I am a voting member of the Recording Academy.
So do you vote though? So as a voter, do you vote on what you think is excellent, or do you vote on what you see as popular?
For me as a musician, I've always tried to tune out what the popularity aspects were and listen to the content, because we all get access to all the nominees. So we get to hear these things.
Right.
And so I always try and go for the creative impact at first. But, you know, let's not forget something interesting. Diana Ross, for example, the biggest legendary star in the world, has never won a Grammy.
Outrageous.
So
outrageous.
I don't know
outrageous.
If there's anything going on with it, really, that's systemic.
There needs to be some changes, doesn't there? There's something off there. My husband has a Grammy, so he won the Grammy with Barry Manilow for Copacabana.
Yes.
But it's Barry's only Grammy of all those, you know, sold 100 million albums.
Really?
And he has one Grammy. Madonna didn't win a Grammy till recently. I've been to the Grammys many, many times backstage with Alicia Keys, and it really is... Oh, how can I put it? It's the mean girls. Like, it's the snobs. So although I love excellence, I was there once with J-Lo, and they were not very nice to Jennifer backstage. So other musical artists, they might publicly support J-Lo, but behind her back, they cringe.
There is it.
Now, Alicia Keys, they love Alicia. She's smart, and she sells album. They love Paul McCartney. They love Stevie Wonder.
Ooh.
I used to work for John Bon Jovi. They do not like John Bon Jovi.
Why?
They like Bruce Springsteen.
Oh,
I know.
Yeah. Well,
I'm from
New Jersey, so I know there's that conflict of Bruce versus John.
And it's the mean girls. Like, I felt backstage.
Oh.
Like, you know, I never went with Jessica Simpson. They wouldn't allow her in the building. Like, it definitely is a little bit snobby. I don't know about this. It's very, very tricky because you do want excellence, but at the same time, we've got to acknowledge some of these albums that sell really well.
Yeah.
Quickly before we go to break, Halle Berry is responding to somebody who critiqued her bedroom habits.
Ooh.
I know.
What?
So Halle's responding to Lisa Ray McCoy, who recently commented on the rumors that the Oscar winner doesn't have that great of skills in the bedroom.
Ooh.
So she claimed that what she's heard is that Halle Berry isn't very good in the sex department.
Ooh.
She hears she's all words and no actions.
Ooh.
Halle Berry saw this, clapped back, that's right, and said, "Ask my man."
Ooh, yes.
He'll tell you all you need to know. We're going to take a quick break and we will be right back. Welcome back to the Naughty But Nice Show. I'm Rob Shooter with Corey Andrew from InstinctMagazine.com. Corey, let's get to the polls.
Da, 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 da.
Yesterday we asked you about Tyra Banks. She wants more money to return to do another season, host another season of Dancing with the Stars. The ratings were good. We're all talking about it, but a lot of people are quite critical about Tyra on the show, but we're watching. Yeah. Is she worth it? Yes or no? Wow. 98% said no. Wow. They don't like Tyra. I love her on this show. I watch it every week because I like the fashion. I like how crazy. She doesn't care. Like, she's so sort of like, yeah. I think she's much watched TV.
Yeah, she's pretty fun. I mean, it's the Tyra show now. We can't, like, let's not pretend. I mean,
no, it's Tyra.
You know, it's Dancing with Tyra. So that's pretty much the new name of the show.
Don't forget to vote on today's poll. You can go to our Twitter page at Naughty Nice Rob or our Facebook page Naughty Gossip and leave a comment, and be sure to check back on Monday to hear your results. And now it's time for a nicest of the day. What have you got, love?
Yes, well, Matthew Perry is engaged to Molly Hurwitz.
Oh, congratulations.
Isn't that nice? It's so cool. So People exclusively revealed that the Friends star, 51, he proposed to his longtime girlfriend, Molly Hurwitz, and she said yes. So he says, I decided to get engaged. Luckily, I happen to be dating the greatest woman on the face of the planet at this time. So earlier this year, he and Hurwitz, they were seen together a lot, and she's 29 years old, and she works as a literary manager, and she shared a very sweet message for the actor on Valentine's Day. But the couple began dating in 2018, and they spent all their holidays together last year, so it's a great engagement. We wish them well. So happy engagement, Matthew and Molly.
Happy engagement. I actually got that message. It's on naughtygossip.com, so a friend of mine sent it to me. It's just a sweet message, but I think this is adorable. Congratulations. She's a smarty pants, too. I love Friends and Matthew Perry. He's gone through a rough patch, and it's nice to see him finally happy. Yeah. And now it's our naughtiest of the day. Naughty, naughty, naughty. Tamron Hall's crew is saying the show is putting their lives in danger. So members of her crew have spoken out to BuzzFeed saying the producers are more concerned about the show than the safety of the staff. Multiple staffers have tested positive for COVID-19. At other shows, there's daily tests for everybody. I know they do that at the Today Show, and Wendy Williams does it too. Mm-hmm. But at Tamron, these sources are saying only people that are close to her, in close contact to Tamron, get tested.
Oh, no.
And nobody else. That doesn't feel right. No. So if you come within 6 feet of Tamron, you have to be tested to protect Tamron. But if you don't go near Tamron, if you're in the sound booth or you're a camera guy, good luck. I think this is outrageous. Tamron, your name's on the show. It is. You might not be involved in this, but get involved immediately and fix this. Oh, it's your name, honey. I know her. She's so gorgeous.
Yeah, I've seen her in person too. I'm like, how is that possible? she's stunning.
I was at a Christmas party, not this year, but last year, and she was there. And she's just the most beautiful. Tamron girl, if you're listening, hello. Hello. Fix it. And now it's time for a moment of Rob. You gotta rub. So I have decided that I'm gonna choose to think about winning, not losing. I'm gonna think about winning now every day. And since I've been doing that, even the small tasks like walking my dog are better. Everything's better when you're more positive. Get this. The small decisions you make each day quickly add up. They quickly add up to define the big picture of your life.
Wow.
Small decisions. When you get out of bed, the mood you're in, what you eat, all these little decisions, if you're nice, if you're kind, all these little decisions feel like they mean nothing right now. But in the long run, in the big picture, they will define you.
Nice.
What do you think, Corey?
I agree with that. And it was so funny. I have a thing now where just something as simple as making sure I make my bed.
Do it.
I have to make sure that if I don't start without chaos, then my whole day will be chaotic. So making my bed sets me off in a uniform way every day.
I love it. Do you know, before I sit down and write, before I sit down and do my work, I clean my desk.
Mm-hmm.
And it just makes me feel like my mind is organized. Now, I'm not saying for us all to be neat freaks, but think about your life. Think about what puts you in a good mood, what puts you in a positive mood, and do it.
Mm-hmm.
Do it.
I agree.
Hey, we've ran out of time. Aww. Corey, thank you for doing it with us every Friday.
Yes.
We love having you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Naughty But Nice with Rob Show, a production of iHeartRadio. Don't forget to subscribe on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen, and leave us a review. And remember, everybody, all together now, if you're going to be naughty, you've got to be nice. Take care, everybody.
Cheers.
It's Naughty But Nice with Rob.